Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew tells us today that when John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus withdrew from the region of Jerusalem into Galilee, and just like the Baptist before him, he continued to proclaim, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was no incidental or spontaneous remark that Matthew picked up on, but it was the entire theme of Jesus' preaching, the content of his teaching. For just after this in our lesson, it says, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease. You see, what happened is the kingdom of heaven broke through, like the sun breaking through the clouds, and revealed itself on earth, and Jesus as king. King with power to forgive, king with authority to cast out demons, king with the ability to cure even the most incurable disease. So is this what Jesus meant when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand"? Even if you don't know exactly what Jesus means by the kingdom, you do know that the kingdom is obviously very important to God, because Matthew mentions it twice in our text and 53 times in the entire gospel. The concept of the kingdom of heaven is so important that we pray it as a petition in the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." If the kingdom of heaven is so important, if we are always praying for it to come, then shouldn't we at least know what it is and where it is? Well, Jesus provides a hint in today's gospel lesson. The kingdom is where the king is. You know, historically, kings have lived in their kingdoms, kind of walled off from the rest of the world. But for those of us who follow Jesus, it's far more accurate to say Jesus doesn't live in his kingdom, but the kingdom of heaven lives in Jesus. Think about it. If the Son of God had wanted to live in a kingdom, he could have just stayed in heaven. But instead, the kingdom of heaven comes to earth. For the kingdom always follows Jesus. By now you're probably figuring out that Jesus is not your typical king. He isn't a king who holds up in a castle with four fixed and fortified walls with a moat all around it. But the king and his kingdom are always in motion. For wherever the Spirit is moving hearts to believe in Jesus and to follow him, that's where you will find the kingdom. It's for this reason that the kingdom can never be stationary, because the kingdom is always increasing. As the gospel is being shared, it's growing, and it's going from place to place. And so Jesus and his kingdom can be found wherever and whenever the good news of the gospel is proclaimed. Wherever men and women and children are hearing the good news, wherever they come to believe in Jesus as their Savior, there you find heaven on earth. Matthew makes a theological point when Jesus looks for and finds his disciples and tells them, "Follow me." And the point is that we do not find the kingdom, but instead the kingdom finds us. You know, not one of us would ever call upon Jesus, care about him, or follow him, except Jesus has called us to believe in him, and he has sealed us for the day of salvation through baptism. And while it's true that at some point in the next life we will enter a glorious place called the kingdom of heaven, I would say in this life the kingdom enters us in humble ways through the preaching of Christ from this pulpit, by receiving the Lord's Supper at that table. We enter heaven in the real world. Now, I know it's strange to think in these terms, to think of the kingdom kind of like a mobile home moving around behind the king. But think of it, it's similar to the phrase we use all the time where we say, home is where the heart is. You see, what we're saying is, home isn't found in any one location. Home can be any place as long as we are with those we love. And so we would say, the kingdom is not up there somewhere. The kingdom is here, where Christ is, where he is being proclaimed among us. We always have that tendency to think of the kingdom of heaven as being in a faraway location. It's all right to talk about going to heaven, but Jesus preferred to talk about heaven coming to us. You know, I think because of our secular existence, we have been taught either to deny God, or at least to disregard him in our lives, or to distance and divorce him from conversation in everyday life. But in this gospel, we hear to the contrary that God is here. His kingdom is here. Jesus is here in his words and in his sacraments. In fact, what Jesus is telling the crowds when he says, "The kingdom of God is near to you," is he's telling them how close in proximity they are standing to him. He's literally saying, you know, the kingdom of heaven is about 4 feet away from you right now. Why? For the kingdom is where the king is. When our king was born in Bethlehem, we could say God's kingdom came to earth. When Christ will soon return in clouds of glory, we can say, "Thy kingdom will come." Well, that's the past and that's the future. But where is the kingdom now? Though you cannot see it, the kingdom is here and the heart believes it. The kingdom follows Jesus like the waves and the wake follow behind a boat. For doesn't Jesus promise us, "Lo, I am with you always"? Doesn't he say, "Even when as few of two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there among you"? And so wherever Jesus is proclaimed, heaven is there. Hidden from sight, but not from faith. You know, it's a frequent question asked of pastors. People always want to know, what's the kingdom of heaven? What will it be like? My friends, we don't need a vision of heaven to know what the kingdom of heaven will be like. For heaven will be like its king. And so a better question is, what is the king of heaven like? Among earthly kings, a kingdom takes on the characteristics of the king. If a king is a tyrant, his kingdom will be oppressive. If a king is greedy, his kingdom will be heavily taxed. Just as the kingdom of heaven is a very unconventional kingdom, Jesus is a very unconventional king. Jesus once told his disciples how most of the lords and kings of this earth demand to be served. But our king did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for you and as a ransom for the many. Most conventional earthly kings would only invite other wealthy nobility to their table to be guests when they throw a banquet. But my friends, our king invites poor sinners who have nothing to offer him in return to dine at his table. Most conventional earthly kings would demand a large portion of the people's earnings. They would heavily tax the people's hard labor. But not our king. Our king loves even the lowliest, the most unworthy among us. And all he wants to do when you come to church is to shower you with his love and his gifts. Gifts of faith, of forgiveness, of heaven, and the hope of his grace. Most conventional earthly kings rule by fear, and their subjects are resentful of the power their kings use to impose their will upon the people. But we have a king who rules in a kingdom of grace, and it is his love for us that makes us want to love him and to serve him. Today in Matthew's gospel, what we are witnessing is the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. When the kingdom of heaven was near, but not quite here. And so we must ask, when did the kingdom come? Pilate would ask Jesus at his trial if he were a king. Matthew records the conversation. He has Jesus responding to Pilate's question, "Are you a king?" by saying, "It is as you say." The next logical question would be, "So if you're a king, where's your kingdom?" In fact, the Roman soldiers would mock Jesus for suggesting he was a king with a kingdom. As a cruel joke, they would put a scarlet robe on him. They would twist a crown of thorns and set it hard upon his head. And then, like some of us, they would only pretend that Jesus was their king. For they did not see a king, nor did they see a kingdom. And yet, my friends, the cross was his throne. And even the thorns became his crown. Never has there been a king more noble or more glorious. than when our King suffered on the cross to establish a kingdom. By his suffering, by his shame, and by his loss. The world ignores Jesus because they wonder, how could such a kingdom come from such a cross? But remember, even on the cross, the kingdom is where Christ is. Find this king and you will find the kingdom of heaven. And so we ask, where is the king today? If you want to find the king, when you hear the absolution, hear it not only as words spoken by your pastor, hear it as pardon from your king. If you want to find the king, listen closely to the preaching of the gospel and hear it not as words spoken by your pastor, but as good news being sent from your king. If you want to find your king, receive not just wine and wafer, but in true faith, receive the body and blood of your king. To say that we are part of his kingdom, but then to go on to ignore these gifts that our king so desperately seeks to give us week after week is really unthinkable to the Christian. For we know that Christ is in his word. That is what makes us eager to be in church, because it is here that we follow Jesus. It is here that we find Jesus. For our King and the kingdom of heaven are here among us in the Word, in the sacraments. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.